back of the head. Motherfucker! I howled, shaking my hand against the biting pain. What is your head made of? Bone? He held his head as he turned back toward us.
Did you just punch me?
Yes. Why aren't you unconscious? Everyone knows if you hit someone in the back of the head, they get knocked out.
I just don't understand why you would hit me. How uncalled for. Here I am, pouring my heart out about my wrath-giving father, and you hit me? Are you trying to make me regress to my childhood? Papa, is that you? Why can't you love me?
Hey-ya!
Lady Tina shrieked as she pushed me aside and Roundhouse kicked the Dark in the face. He immediately crumpled to the ground, out cold. Whoa. Like, I still don't like you, dude. So much. So do not take this as a compliment. But that was badass.
Thank you,
she said primly, adjusting her robes. Still wasn't a compliment, so, you know, no need for thanks.
You said I was a badass.
Would you two stop flirting?
Justin snapped.
We don't have time for this.
Flirting. Are you out of your goddamn mind?
As if I would ever.
Lady Tina exclaimed.
Stay away from him,
Ryan warned her. I don't care that you guys have a history of mutually adoring me. You don't get to touch him. Ha, huh, I quoted her. You don't get to touch me.
Like I would want to,
she snarled at me.
I don't have a thing for unattractive people.
Gary, did you hear that? We need to bring the Oh, wait. They're not here. Damn it. Why couldn't we bring Gary and Tiggy again so they could have my back? Oh, right. The Darks would recognize them because of their existence. Damn it. I guess that means Lady Tina can stay. She glared at me. I winked at her.
Stop flirting.
Ryan growled at me.
Why is this my life?
Justin asked. No one in particular. Since we couldn't very well march up to the front gates of Castle Locks and demand entrance, no matter how good our disguises were, we had to come up with another way inside. Ryan had an alternative. Given his role as the Knight Commander, he had access to a master key that opened most doors in Castle Locks. Oh, well, not all, of course, because the king understood the value of privacy. But the necessary doors? All Ryan. And he, aside from the king, was the only one in possession of such a key. I could probably break whatever door we had to get into, but the less magic I used, the better. Especially given we didn't know how far Mirren's reach extended. I'd felt him before, back in Mashalaha, calling me to him. And now that he'd consumed Morgan's magic, I needed to do all I could to lie low. So, the front door was out. But a side entrance? Perhaps one used by the knights to go in and out of the castle on their way to the training fields? That was possible. Well, it should have been possible, except for the fact that there were four Darks standing in front of it, shooting the shit without a care in the world.
Damn it,
Ryan whispered, as we peered around one of the king's stables.
There's too many of them. We can't risk them raising an alarm. We need to find another...
Don't worry, I said, eyeing each of the Darks individually. I got this.
What?
Justin hissed.
You can't just...
Babe, tell him how villains love me.
He doesn't need to tell me. Everyone knows about their weird obsession with you. But in case you didn't know, we're trying to remain undercover. You can't just go out there and be gross with them. I'm kind of going to agree with Justin,
Ryan said. I glared at him. So this is what betrayal tastes like. Bitter. Ryan rolled his eyes.
And it's not about Sam of Dragons,
I told Justin. I just gotta be myself. I can charm the hell out of anyone, even looking like this. I'll play the role Gary says I was born for, the wide-eyed newbie who stumbles upon a group of rough-and-tumble men and has his innocence devoured in a gangbang. You know what? I really should stop listening to Gary, and I'll do that starting tomorrow.
Hey, big fellas.
That's who you choose,
Lady Tina whispered behind me as I stepped out into the open.
Over Justin? Are you kidding me?
The four Darks turned toward the sound of my voice. I reminded myself that I wasn't lying, per se, but acting. There was a difference, and this would be the role of my career. There would be stories told of my performance this night, and I would...
Well, well, well,
Dark One said lecherously, which meant this would go exactly as I expected. He had a mean look on his face, and a sloping gut.
What do we have here?
I could do this. I could so do this.
Well, butter my biscuits and cover me in gravy.
me. I do declare that I've found myself lost without an escort.
Gary would be so proud.
That right?
Dark Two asked, he of the hairy knuckles and bulbous nose that looked as if it had been permanently reddened by drink.
All by your lonesome, are we?
I batted my eyelashes at him.
All by my lonesome. Well, when I left the farm to head for the big city to be dark, I never thought I'd get so turned around. Those buildings are so massive.
Dark Three laughed cruelly. His teeth were crooked and yellowed, and he smelled like badly aged cheese.
Do you like things that are massive?
Why, whatever do you mean? I asked, hand at my throat.
What else here could possibly be massive to little old me?
Dark the Fourth took a step toward me.
What's your wizarding name, darling?
On the spot. Ye gods!
Purity of the Blushing Virgins?
Mm. I blurted. They gaped at me. I heard wheezing behind me. I winked at the darks, hoping it would be enough to make their underwear fall off, tangle in their legs, and make them fall down and hit their heads and die. It wasn't. I was disappointed in myself. Dark Two popped his hairy knuckles.
Purity of the Blushing Virgins.
He repeated.
How about that?
Yes, I breathed. How about that? I, of course, didn't choose that name for myself. Why, it was given to me by the monk where I lived.
The monk?
Dark One asked.
Though you came from a farm, not a monastery.
They could remember things. Curses!
Yes, exactly. The farm. It was a monk farm where the monks farmed, and they adopted me. Yes, they adopted me after I was found in the woods as a child and took me in. I worked their farm and kept myself pure and untainted because I wanted to make sure I remained intact and save it for the man I love.
I licked my lips, or maybe four men I met on a dark road near a castle. They exchanged looks before turning back to me and grinning. Dark Three said,
"Well, we seem to have found ourselves in a situation to help make all your dreams come true, especially the wet ones."
"Why, I suppose we have," I said as my dick shriveled and my balls crawled back into my body. "What ever shall we do with such a situation?"
Dark the Fourth grabbed his crotch and leered.
"I'm sure we can find out. Why don't you come a little closer, so we can get to know each other better?"
I didn't think he was talking about tea in conversation.
"But I'm so scared," I whimpered. "Will it hurt?"
"Only a lot,"
Dark One promised.
"But after a while, you'll be so stuffed you won't even remember your own name."
"Oh," I said, grimacing. "I mean,
oh, yes, that's exactly what I want. I have so many holes to put things in. Tell me, will you treat me right?"
"Probably not,"
Dark Three said.
"But a pretty young thing like yourself can take it, don't you think?"
Sweet molasses. I breathed as I got closer. I might not have thought this through entirely. And before they could reach for me, I cried, "Wait!" They stopped,
eyeing me hungrily. "Before I do such a thing, I must go to confession."
They eyed me a little less hungrily after that.
"Confession?"
Dark Two asked. "Yes," I babbled. "Confession, I must confess my sins to the gods before I give myself unto you and your manhoods. I ask that you meet me at church and sit with me while I confess before I let you fill me with what I expect to be extremely potent love juice." Dark the Fourth frowned.
"That sounds like a lot of work."
"Oh,"
I said, rubbing my hand along my torso and neck.
"I can promise you it'll be worth it."
I accidentally poked myself in the eye. Oh, fuck. Ignore that part.
Why, I do declare that I can't wait to ride each of you in turn, while the others stand and stroke themselves around me.
To the church, Dark One cried.
But we can't leave our post,
Dark Two argued.
You know we'll get in trouble.
Bah,
Dark the Fourth said.
This is a shit job anyway. No one comes this way. It's not like anyone can get in this way. The door's locked.
And besides,
Dark Three said,
when was the last time you had Virgin? Can you imagine how tight he's gonna be? It'll be like trying to force your fist into a mouse hole.
Exactly, like a fist into a mouse hole, I managed to say, even as I fought the urge to vomit. Now, as the monks taught me, I can be seen in public with men of your... I can't be seen in public with men of your... veracity. So you head on to the church, and I will follow post-haste. And once I've made my confession, I expect to be ravaged. Though not in the church, because that would be blasphemous. And also, the church needs to be the one all the way on the other side of the city. Because reasons.
I don't know,
Dark Two said, frowning at me.
Something about this doesn't smell right.
Time to up my game. I batted my eyelashes so hard I thought they were going to fall off as I took a step toward Dark Two. He was breathing heavily as I rolled my hips. Thankful Gary had taught me how to walk like a sexy beast when I was 14. Granted, at the time, I'd failed miserably and he told me I was going to be alone forever, but still, I was doing this. I reached Dark Two and put my hand on his chest and sucked my bottom lip between my teeth. My loins, I whispered, looking up at him. They ache for you. I think I'd let you go first and teach me the ways of the flesh. Why I should think someone of your mass knows exactly what to do with someone as sweet as me. I expect that I taste like cherry pie everywhere. He nodded furiously.
Church! We're going to the church now. Right now!
I squealed and clapped my hands as I stepped away.
Oh, the joy in my tight, tight butthole knows no bounds. I am all a quiver. I am trembling with need, and you're all running away.
Great, fantastic. Well, don't I feel used? I glared at the backs of the retreating darks as they ran down the road. Soon, they had disappeared from sight. I turned back around toward my adventure companions. Justin looked horrified. Tina looked disgusted. Ryan looked both turned on and furious, which made me want to gag on his cock, but now is not the time for such endeavors, given that we were on a mission to save the king while remaining undetective, and public fellatio was not conducive for being incognito. What? I asked. Justin said,
I've lost any and all faith in people's taste,
Tina said.
Were they all blind? Because that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Ryan said, I could have taken them all with one hand tied behind my back, a blindfold over my eyes, a wooden sword, and no legs. We all turned slowly to look at him. He looked extraordinarily grumpy as he crossed his arms over his chest.
What? I could have. I'm great at everything I do.
We absolutely don't have time for your ego right now, I said, waving my hand. In case you can't remember, we're trying to rescue the king. He looked even grumpier at that. I had to remind myself that I'd already decided no blowjobs. The things I sacrificed for Verenia. Once freed from the dungeons, the king was going to need to be made aware of my selflessness. Now, I said, clapping my hands, shall we? Ryan pushed by me, muttering what I assumed were compliments about the power of my sexuality under his breath. I heard the jingle of keys from one of the pockets of his robes. He stood in front of the door, eyeing it warily.
Do you not remember how keys work?
I asked him slowly. Because I can show you if you...
I'm readying myself, he snapped. For all we know, the door is booby-trapped and will explode the moment we open it.
Then why would the darks have been guarding it? From your expression, that was the wrong thing to say. Instead, I'm going to validate your concerns because that's what a good boyfriend does.
Oh, is that what a good boyfriend does? I thought a good boyfriend offered himself up like a sexual platter for darks to feast upon.
Sexual platter, I mouthed to Justin, who sighed and shook his head. I wouldn't have slept with them, I told Ryan. You're my one and only. His eyebrows looked like he didn't agree with me. I kissed his cheek. His mouth twitched a little. "You know that one thing you like that I do with my tongue underneath your balls?" I whispered in his ear. "I'll do that to you later."
"Plah,"
Lady Tina said.
"We can hear you."
Ryan flushed furiously, but he looked placated. The promise of a Hummer will do that to anyone. He put the key into the lock, and while I didn't think it would explode the moment it opened, I wasn't going to take the chance. I readied myself to freeze time if I had to, something I didn't even know I could do, but it sounded good, so whatever. The tumblers clicked loudly as he turned the key. We all held our breaths. The door did not explode. He pulled the key out. We sighed. "Okay," he said, shaking his head. "I think we're good." And then he reached for the handle and opened the door to Castle Locks. Chapter 10. Do you even lift, bro? It was odd being back in Castle Locks after all this time. I'd been through the Knight's Entrance countless times, but the moment we stepped through the door and shut it behind us, it was like I was seeing everything with new eyes. A long stone hallway stretched out in front of us, lit by torches that hung on the walls. The ceiling was so low, Ryan could have reached up and touched it. The air was musty and dank, and it smelled so much like home that I had to take a moment to breathe it in to commit it once again to memory.
"Remember,"
Justin said, sounding just as affected.
"We move quickly and quietly. Do not engage unless necessary. Keep your heads low, and don't draw attention. Sam, that means no getting distracted by... Sam, are you even listening to me?"
I wasn't, but said, yeah, sure. As I stared at a painting of a dark wizard throwing a child into a moat, while other darks cheered around him. Was this here before? Because if it was, remind me to put in a request to the king to have the artist sent to the dungeons. And if it wasn't, I call dibs on taking out the artist who thinks he can paint better than me.
"Noted," Justin said through gritted teeth. "Now, can we focus, please?"
I mean, do they think it's okay to just hang up art anywhere they want?
"Sam."
"Right, focusing. Carry on."
"No distraction, no deviations, no engaging. We are in and out, and that is it."
"Yes," I agreed. After all, what could possibly go wrong? The others groaned.
"Why would you say that?" Tina demanded. "It's like you want us to fail,"
Justin groaned.
"I mean, there were only four of them. And in case you hadn't noticed, my biceps were bigger than all of theirs, combined."
We stared at Ryan. He glared at us.
"Great,"
Justin muttered.
"Just great."
The hallway was empty as we moved ahead. We listened for movement. Aside from the usual sounds of a castle creaking and settling, it was quiet. "A little too quiet," I muttered.
"What was that?"
Ryan asked. I said, "It's a little too..." And then I ran smack dab into someone coming from a hallway to my left. "Kill it with fire," I squeaked, because apparently I scared easily.
"Please don't kill it with fire,"
came the response as I jumped back.
"I would really rather not burn to death, my lords."
It was a woman I recognized, a member of the cleaning staff handpicked by the king. They took their work seriously and considered it an honor to serve the king. The maids and butlers had their own rooms in the castle, were paid and fed well, and were treated like every other member of the king's staff, or at least they had been before Mirren took over. She looked tired now, aged far beyond her 40-odd years. Her eyes were wide and fearful as she looked away from us, wringing her hands. I wondered why she was so scared. I was about to console her until I remembered we were in disguise, which, great, we weren't recognizable, but awful, too, because that meant she was scared of us.
"Yes, well,"
I said, hating myself for it.
"See that it doesn't happen again. Why are you even up and about? It's the middle of the night."
She looked confused.
"You only allow us a few hours of sleep per week, my lord. Now is not my sleeping time."
"Those monsters," I breathed. Then I coughed.
"I mean, right. Well, then go about your business and don't let me get you slacking off.
Wait,
Justin said before she could get too far. She stiffened, but turned around slowly.
My lord?
The king?
She took a step back.
Is he guarded?
Yes,
she said, as if she thought it was a trick question.
Always. How many?
2 of you.
She spat at him, and then she added,
My lord.
Pride swelled in my chest at the anger in her voice. Justin nodded, and she fled.
Exactly what the dark prisoners back at Camp Halfheart said. Good to know.
2,
Lady Tina said.
We can take 2 of them.
Justin rubbed his double chin and thought.
I want you to stay here,
he said, staring after where the maid had disappeared.
Keep the hallway free of any obstruction. When we freed my father, we'll need to move quickly, and the fewer of us moving about the castle, the better. Do you understand?
Lady Tina snapped to attention, nodding tightly. It would have been impressive if I didn't dislike everything about her.
Yes, Your Highness.
Take whatever action you deem necessary to keep the hallway clear, but stay out of sight as much as possible. I'm counting on you.
She preened a little like an undeserving show dog with mange, but moved to stand against the far wall, where she had a view of all approaches. Ryan nodded at her as he followed Justin.
Sam,
she said as I passed her by. I sighed as I stopped. What?
Keep them safe.
I scoffed. I've been keeping them safe longer than you've decided to pretend to have a soul. You don't need to worry about that. She narrowed her eyes at me.
And I've been protecting them since you decided to disappear into the forest.
Why does she keep having valid points? What kind of dark magic was this? I am going to—
Sam, move your ass.
Tina grinned smugly.
You are the prince, Sam.
If looks could kill, Lady Tina's entire bloodline would have been obliterated right then and there, even though I was almost begrudgingly impressed. I grumbled as I followed my knight and my best friend Fiveva, leaving Lady Tina behind. It wasn't until we reached a set of stairs that led to the main floor of the castle that I began to see noticeable changes to castle locks. It had only been a year since I'd seen it last, but I didn't think Darks were as worried about home decor as they were about making everyone miserable with their existence. But the paintings of kings past and dignitaries and heads of state that had lined the walls had been removed, probably destroyed, and replaced with red and white banners that had a large black M right in the middle.
He's not very subtle, is he?
Justin said, sounding pained. Villains usually aren't, I replied.
Are you okay?
Ryan asked Justin, dropping a hand on his shoulder and squeezing. Justin shook him off.
I will be once we get to my father. Keep moving.
Ryan glanced back at me, but I could only shrug. We made our way up the stairs to the main floor. Off to the left was another set of stairs that led to our old living quarters. I shuddered to think what had happened to them, and who was staying in the home Ryan and I had made for ourselves.
Hey.
I startled, looking over at Ryan to find him watching me with a knowing expression.
It's gonna be okay.
Promise?
Yeah, Sam, I promise. But we gotta keep moving, okay? Before...
Gentlemen, a voice said. We whirled around. Caleb Marlowe. He didn't look any worse for wear since I'd seen him last. He was dressed similarly to us, in black robes that scraped along the stone floors, the hem speckled with dust. He looked severe, but not suspicious.
Where are you going?
I was struggling to keep my magic under control because he was right there, and I'd already let him walk away once. I didn't know if I could do it again. As if he knew I was struggling, Justin stepped in front of me, blocking Caleb. Out of sight, Ryan grabbed my hand, squeezing tightly. I calmed, slightly, the bubbling rage lowering to a slow simmer.
New recruits, sir,
Justin said, tilting his head deferentially. And I hated the sight of him treating Caleb with any sign of respect, no matter how false.
Just showing them the ropes.
Caleb hummed a little at that.
At this time of night? They were late arrivals.
On that caravan from earlier?
Yes.
Caleb took a step toward us. Interesting. I thought it was just supplies being delivered. I don't like it when things are late.
My apologies, sir,
Justin said evenly.
It won't happen again. Which is why I'm trying to bring these slackers up to speed, so they don't waste anyone else's time.
Good. If there are any other further problems, I'd like for you to report to me. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Caleb nodded and made as if he was going to leave, but then he paused and turned back to Justin. One more thing. I don't know if I even recognize you.
I was in Meridian City until last week, Justin said hastily, but I was assigned to Castle Locks by Craven the Bold.
Caleb made a face at that.
Craven? He still draws breath.
How... Unfortunate. But I suppose he gets results, however unorthodox the method.
Well, I'll leave you to it, then.
Remember, anyone steps out of line, you come to me.
Justin bowed slightly. Of course, sir.
Good. Off with you, then. I have matters to attend to.
He turned and walked away, robe swirling behind him.
Justin breathed a sigh of relief as he turned back toward us. He eyed me warily.
All right.
I nodded, but didn't speak.
We'll get him, Sam, Ryan said quietly. Not today, but soon. I promise.
He was right about that.
We'd get them all.
The next room over held the great doors to the throne room of Castle Locks. I sighed at the sight of them. They stood as they always had, tall and proud and imposing. I'd walked through them countless times, and knew on the other side sat the thrones of the king and prince, now turned into a twisted mockery of what they'd once been since Mirren had risen to power. Someone cleared their throat behind me. I turned and found Justin and Ryan watching me, looking concerned. I shook my head. I'm fine, it doesn't matter.
It's the same, you know,
Justin said, looking up at the great doors.
For me. Me too. Whatever it was, it's the same.
I believe them. We should keep moving. Ryan looked like he was going to protest, but changed his mind after Justin nodded and turned toward the great doors. He put his hands upon them and started to push.
What are you doing? I asked, confused. We need to go to the dungeons.
He glanced back at me.
We are. We know how many are guarding my father, but we don't know how many are at the entrance to the dungeons. We're going a different way.
I blinked.
What other way is there?
He grinned.
There's a secret entrance.
What? Okay, not even touching upon how convenient that is, but how in the hell didn't I know about it?
He shrugged. Hands still upon the great doors.
Only a few of us do. Me, my father, Ryan.
He paused. Then,
your mother.
I gaped at him. My mother? How in the hell did she... And then I remembered what was on the other side of the throne room. Her garden. Are you telling me that there's a passage through the garden to the dungeons, and my mother knew about it?
She was a caretaker. The king entrusted the secret to her.
I don't understand. I know every inch of this castle. Where would it...
I sighed. Her secret garden. That's where it is, isn't it? That's why she... God damn it, I didn't see that one coming. Well played.
I'm a little pissed that you all knew about it, and I didn't, but still. Good job on that one.
Are you done?
Justin asked. I rolled my eyes. Yes, please go ahead. Lead me toward the secret that was kept from you because you guys suck balls, or whatever. I mean, I would accept an apology, but we can worry about that later. Stop wasting time.
Justin sighed, but pushed open the great doors. The thrones sat as they always had. The king's bigger than the prince's. Mirren hadn't removed them. He probably enjoyed the irony of one such as him sitting in a place meant for one who ruled with a kind and gentle hand. But everything else was different. The banners were here, too, much larger, and hanging from the ceiling. It was almost shocking to see them, looking brutal and cruel in what was meant to be a place of peace. Mirren had made this place his own.
And I hated everything about it.
Justin's jaw tightened, but he didn't hesitate as he marched through the throne room. Thick shoulders squared, head held high. He glanced once at the thrones, but didn't stop, heading for the doors on the opposite wall. Ryan followed him, just as quickly. I paused when we passed the thrones. I sent up a silent prayer to the gods. However useless it would be. But that was all I could do for now. We were through the doors and out into the garden before we could be noticed.
The sky above was littered with stars. David's dragon twinkled brightly, and I did my best not to scowl up at it. My mother's flowers were mostly dead and rotting. The grounds unkempt. She would be fuming at the sight of them. I promised myself it'd be one of the first things we'd correct. I'd be out here with her from sunup to sundown, if that's what it took. We moved through the garden, pushing through leafy limbs that stretched out around us, thorns prickling, the perfume of the dead flowers sickly sweet and cloying. Ryan knew the way to the secret part of the garden, but I'd never seen Justin there, so I was a little surprised to find him leading the way, confidently. Granted, I hadn't known about the secret entrance either, so perhaps Justin had been there more than I'd thought. Right before we rounded the corner to the start of the secret garden, Ryan and Justin stopped, exchanged a look, then turned back around to face me. I didn't like the look of this.
Morgan knew, Justin said quietly.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Knew what?
He knew you came here. When you had to think. When you had to clear your head. When you wished upon the stars.
No, I wasn't going to do this now. Good for him. I don't know how you know that, but that's just great. So if we can...
He left a letter,
Justin said, and I swallowed with an audible click.
My father found it in his office. He swore that it wasn't there before, and maybe with all the upheaval he missed it, but he found it the day after you left.
What did it say? I asked hoarsely.
Where he wanted to be laid to rest,
Ryan said, raising a hand like he was going to comfort me, but thinking better of it.
Where he felt he'd been closest to you. He knew, I think, that you'd leave.
Where? I managed to say. Where did he... Then...
In the garden.
That's why you didn't tell me. I was angry now. That's why you didn't say anything, because you didn't think I could deal with...
We need to say... We didn't say anything because we needed you to be focused,
Justin said.
We needed you to be here with us. Have you had time to grieve, Sam? We have. Even with everything we went through, with the fall of Varenya, we grieved. You still haven't said what happened to you in the forest with the dragons.
It doesn't matter, I snapped, hands and fists at my sides.
Of course it matters,
Ryan said, tone pleading as he took a step toward me.
Sam, he was your family. We all know how you internalize.
Don't! I growled. Don't you dare try and analyze me. That's not fair. We're here to save the king. Nothing else matters.
His marker is in the secret garden, Justin said, near the entrance. You can pay your respects if you want, if Mirren hasn't destroyed it, which I don't think he's even capable of. We can handle the dungeons and my father. You wait for us there.
I shook my head. Let's just go, okay? They exchanged another look, which irritated the holy hell out of me, but I chose to ignore it. Justin turned and entered my mother's garden, leaving Ryan and me behind. I tried to walk past Ryan, but he caught me by the arm. I didn't try to shake him off. I was furious, but I didn't want to take it out on him. He was only thinking of me.
He loved you more than anything else in the world.
I know.
And he believed in you.
I blinked away the burn, only nodding in response. I felt Ryan's searching gaze, but couldn't bring myself to look at him. He let me go. I followed Justin. In the end, we become bones and dust. And if we're lucky, someone will be left. Who cares enough to leave a reminder of wood or stone to show that we were here, that we lived, and laughed, and loved, that we existed. No matter what was raised in Morgan's honor, it wouldn't be enough. So I wasn't surprised when we entered my mother's garden to find a small plaque set upon an onyx obelisk, the stone gleaming dully in the starlight. It sat in the middle of a small clearing, rising from the ground, almost as tall as I was. It was smooth. The lines cleanly cut, obviously lovingly crafted. The base was surrounded by the brightest of flowers. Blues and greens and reds and golds and pinks, the last of which reminded me of pointy shoes sticking out from underneath brightly colored robes. The plaque read, "Here lies Morgan of Shadows, the King's Wizard, brother, friend, mentor. He loved and was loved in return." I reached out and traced my fingers over the grooves of each word. How is it still here? Mirren should have...
"Regardless of what he did," Justin said, "regardless of who he was and who he's become, he was still Morgan's brother first. I think that matters, even to him."
I wiped my face and my hand came away wet.
That didn't stop him from taking Morgan away.
"No, it didn't. And he'll pay for that, in this life or the next.
In this one. He'll pay for it in this one." They had no response to that. They left me alone for a moment, moving toward the far corner of the garden. I didn't know what to say. "I'm sorry I failed you. I wish I'd been stronger. I wish you'd never come for me that day in the slums." Nothing seemed even remotely adequate to the tangled knot in my chest. He loved me as I loved him. And maybe that was enough. "You jerk. You asshole. You brave, foolish idiot." Wherever he was, I figured he'd be laughing at me in that way he did. Eyes crinkled, mouth quirked in a small, knowing smile. There was a loud mechanical groan, and I snapped my head up in time to see Justin pulling his hand away from the wall as it slid away to the right. I winced at the scrape of metal and stone, hoping the trees around us muffled the worst of it. When it creaked to a stop, what remained was a small doorway, hidden behind thick vines. A secret entrance. Even with the gravity of the situation, even standing upon the grave of my mentor, I couldn't help but feel a small thrill of excitement race through me at such a sight. I wondered if there were any others in the castle. It seemed possible. I trailed my hand along the words on the plaque one more time before I went to Ryan and Justin, both of whom were peering down a set of stairs that had appeared behind the wall, of which only the first few steps were visible. They looked at me as I came to stand beside them. I shook my head before they could ask whatever questions were on their tongues. "So, this is fun?"
"Fun," Justin repeated.
"Secret passageways and secret gardens, yeah. That's pretty fun." Ryan smiled.
"I thought the same thing when I found out."
I arched an eyebrow at him. "And when was that?"
"After I was promoted to Knight Commander."
"Really? You kept it from me for that long? And after you gave me so much in Castle Frisius for keeping things from you?" "Kind of a bitch, Foxheart. Sexy as all hell, but still a bitch." His grin widened.
"Oh, my gods,"
Justin muttered.
"I can't take either of you anywhere."
"How far down do these stairs go?"
I asked, looking into the doorway again. "We're not above the dungeons here."
"A ways,"
Justin said vaguely. "You don't really know, do you?"
"There were spiders when Dad showed me the first time," he mumbled. "I don't like spiders."
"Ah," I said wisely. "It's a good thing that you've got us then, huh? And by us, I mean Ryan, because I also don't like spiders, so he can go first and scare them all away and make sure we don't get bitten and die." We both looked at him expectantly.
"You guys both suck,"
he said with a sigh.
"You would know,"
Justin said. I gasped. "Did you just make a sex joke about blowing Ryan?" Justin groaned.
"No, that wasn't what I..."
"This is the greatest day of my life," I said in awe. "I mean, aside from the whole breaking into the castle and seeing my mentor's grave and being sad and stuff, that part was awful. But you just made a sex joke. Best day ever. I can't wait to tell your dad. In fact,
That's going to be the first thing I say to him. Then I will hug him and probably compliment him on his mustache, because no matter what, he's still a Kilf, and that needs to be recognized.
Maybe we should just leave him in the dungeons,
Ryan said, giving me the evil eye. Justin didn't seem to like that idea, especially when he grabbed a torch off the wall and shoved it into Ryan's hands before pushing him toward the stairs.
Less talk, more rescue.
Ryan glared back at the both of us before he turned and started to descend. Justin followed him. I looked back only once at the marker of Morgan of Shadows. I'll be back, I whispered to him. I promise. Because he did love with his whole heart and was loved just as much in return. There were spiders. A shit ton of them. Ryan was the absolute worst at scaring spiders away. One just landed on me, I shrieked, after we'd walked what it felt like 1,000 steps. It's crawling in my ear and is going to lay eggs. Wait. Never mind, that was just the collar of my robe. My bad. Since I could barely see in front of me, I had to imagine their matching looks of disdain. Given that I was well-versed in such expressions, it didn't require much effort.
Maybe keep your voice down, Justin said through what sounded like gritted teeth.
I was just practicing in case one did land on me, I retorted, because my boyfriend isn't doing a very good job. I walked into, like, 4 spiderwebs. God only knows how many dead bugs are in my hair right now. You know how I feel about dead bugs being in my hair.
Unfortunately, I do, Ryan said, the torch moving left and right ahead of me.
Justin wasn't kidding when he said, always. Felt like we'd ascended for hours, even though I knew that wasn't the case. The stairs were long and winding, appearing to move throughout the castle, hidden behind the walls. I swore we came upon other doorways, but Justin didn't let us stop to study them, saying that we had to keep moving before we ran out of time. I called him a buzzkill, and Ryan told him he couldn't stab me, and we continued downward. What's the plan for the dark scarring the king? I asked after another 10 minutes of stairs. My thighs were screaming. I probably should have done more squats, but exercising was the worst. You said there should only be a couple of them, right? Should I try to seduce those ones too? I'm really good at that, huh?
You're not going to try and seduce them,
Ryan said, sounding grumpy as ever. In fact, that's not something you should do to anyone ever again. Even to you?
Well, let's not go that far.
Justin sounded irritated when he said, if there are only 2 of them, that means they're outnumbered. I waited. Nothing. I decided to help. They don't know how to finish their sentences? But Justin didn't respond. Instead, he was staring at yet another doorway, covered in cobwebs and shadows, the flame from the torch flickering along the stone.
Is this it?
Ryan asked quietly.
I think so, Justin said,
reaching up to rub away the webs and dust on the door to reveal a single word.
Temnizo. I blinked. That's my mother's tongue.
Why the hell is there an old gypsy word on a door in a secret tunnel in Castle Locks? The gypsies helped build the castle, Justin muttered, running a hand down the door.
They made these secret passages under the instruction of the king at the time. Barry, the paranoid.
The guy that thought that everyone was against him and that there was conspiracies to steal the crown that ran through the highest-ranking members of his court, only to tragically starve himself to death when he refused to eat meals he thought were poisoned.
Yes, that guy.
Verenia has a strange and storied history. Also, you descend from him, so I hope the crazy doesn't run through the family. I won't let anyone poison you.
That wasn't as comforting as you think it was.
I'll try harder next time. What does Temnizo mean?
It literally translates to dungeon,
Justin said, frowning at the door.
I think, but there doesn't seem to be a handle.
Great, I said cheerfully, shoving him to the side.
Why you?
Your relatives had this castle built on the backs of my relatives. This is a gypsy door, and I have gypsy blood.
It wasn't like that. They weren't slaves.
I waved a hand at him dismissively. I expect reparations at some point, but we can talk about that later, so long as we can agree that white people are the worst.
Hey, not all white. You know what? That's a terrible argument to make.
It is, I said, putting my hands on the stone. It was cool underneath my fingertips. But I forgive you because you keep my dick wet.
I hate you both so much,
Justin mumbled. It was pretty much bullshit. The whole gypsy door, gypsy blood thing. I highly doubted that it would open just for me because of that. But I didn't want Justin to be the one to stumble through the doorway into the dungeons in case there were darks in there. I knew my duty as his wizard, and it meant keeping the once and future king safe. I pushed on the stone, and of course, nothing happened. I pushed a little harder. Still nothing. Well then, this is quite the conundrum.
What is it?
Justin asked. Apparently, and stick with me here because it can be hard to understand, but stone is really heavy and hard to move.
Sam.
Yes, Justin?
You're a fucking moron.
Hey. Both of you move, Ryan said, popping his neck side to side.
This probably calls for brute strength. We all know how much I work out.
Wow, I said, staring at him. That was such a douchebag thing to say. And I can do it. Ryan arched an eyebrow at me.
Do you even lift, bro?
I smacked him upside the head. Stop it. You stop it right now. I'm not one of your knights. I am not your bro. He rubbed his head and glared at me. I sighed. Fine. Use your large muscles and push the door out of the way.
You act like this isn't turning you on, Justin whispered as I stepped away from the door.
I know, right? I whispered back. But his ego's already out of control, so he doesn't need to know that. Have you ever had a boner while you've had dead bugs in your hair? It's really quite vexing. I'm terribly vexed. Ryan pressed his hands against the door and grunted as he pushed.
Holy biceps,
I breathed. They look like they're about to burst right through his robes. Do you think his thighs are quivering with exertion?
I try not to think about his thighs.
That was a lie. Everyone thinks about Ryan Foxhart's thighs.
In case you can't quite remember, we're trying to rescue my father. I don't have time to deal with the sick and twisted thing you have going on with Ryan.
Yeah, I sighed happily. Our love is one for the ages. Hey, Foxhart, you done trying to move the immovable stone wall? His face was red with exertion, sweat dripping down from his brow.
Almost got it,
he grunted. Right, well, while you've almost got it, maybe consider pulling the lever to your right that I noticed right after you called me bro. Justin snorted. Ryan glared at me. I smiled sweetly at him. Love you. He muttered something under his breath that I assumed was him saying he loved me too, before he reached over and grabbed the wooden lever that stuck out from the wall. He pulled it down and... nothing happened. We are the worst at rescuing people. Okay, that's it. I'm just going to blast it from existence and hope Mirren doesn't notice my magic. The door opened with a grinding moan, dust spilling from the ceiling above us. Ryan looked back at me and grinned.
See? I told you I could do it.
And then a hand shot through the open doorway, wrapped around his throat, and jerked him into the waiting darkness. Chapter 11. The King and I. I didn't hesitate. Not when it came to him. I never had, and I never would. The moment he disappeared from sight, I followed him through the door, and immediately fell down a flight of stairs on the other side and landed on my back, blinking up at the ceiling. I meant to do that, I groaned as I pushed myself up onto my elbows. That was totally planned, yay. Yay me. Empty cells stretched out on either side of me. Torches lit on the walls, water dripping from the ceiling. The dungeons were cool and dank, and it felt so good to be back home, but I had little time to appreciate it because I had a hand to lop off for daring to touch Ryan Foxhart. The hand, as it turned out, was attached to an arm, which in turn was attached to a hooded figure that held Ryan Foxhart against one of the jail cells. Ryan's back was shoved into the metal bars, and he was kicking his legs to no avail, the hand tightening around his throat. I stood up slowly, trying to keep the gold and green at bay. The moment I let it out, the moment I called my magic to me, Mirren would know I was here, and we'd be screwed. I pulled myself to my full height.
You would do well to unhand him, I said grandly. Before I unhand you?
The hooded figure snorted. Ryan stopped struggling.
That didn't make sense.
I narrowed my eyes at him. Ah, yes it did. I'm going to unhand him, meaning I'm going to relieve him of his hand. That's not what unhand means. It made sense in context.
Are we really doing this now?
Justin asked, sounding incredulous as he came through the doorway.
Seriously.
He's just jealous because I have some awesome catchphrases, I told Justin.
That's not a catchphrase,
Justin said. I squinted at him. Are you sure?
Do you even know what a catchphrase is?
Yeah, dude. It's a thing you say when your robes are billowing and you're looking all daunting and shit. Trust me, I would know. I often find myself with billowing robes and looking daunting and shit.
It's good to know that even your appearance has changed, the hooded figure said. Nothing else about you has, even after all this time. I assume this is the Knight Commander I've bested.
Bested? Ryan growled. Set me down, you mother cracker, I'll show you bested.
Since I would know Sam's a name prattling anywhere, the stranger continued, that leaves a rather portly fellow as the prince. I'll expect him to have you beheaded for such a thing when this is all said and done.
I'm considering it. But since you know us, it's only fair that we would know you. Reveal yourself before I have my wizard end your life.
Best friends forever, I whispered fervently.
Your wizard,
the man said slowly.
Truly.
Damn right, I said, standing next to Justin, where I belonged. I'm his wizard, and you've got my boyfriend by the throat. I'm going to straight up murder your sorry ass if you don't let him go right this second.
Oh, is that right? I'd like to see you try.
I frowned. Really? Because I wasn't being serious. I mean, I will if I have to, but killing people is bad, you know? I would rather you just let him go, and then he can hit you upside the head or something.
Or something,
the man echoed.
Who are you?
Justin asked.
A master of disguise, apparently, he said dryly. Either that or you're all still a bunch of idiots. Which both are most likely true.
And I knew. Because no one insulted me like he did. I remember the last thing he'd ever said to me, and I will do what I can. But he will be stronger than me. You must do what is right, Sam of Wilds. You must do what is necessary, even if your heart is breaking. Is it you? I croaked out, taking a step forward. Are you real? He chuckled as he took a step back from Ryan, dropping his hand. He turned toward me, reaching up to pull the hood back, and Randall stood before me. His eyebrows were as wild as ever, looking like furry monstrosities hell-bent on consuming his forehead. His bulbous nose held memories of once being turned into a dick by a horny teenager with penis on the brain. The wrinkles on his face were more pronounced, and he looked like he was on the verge of complete exhaustion. But I didn't think I'd ever been so happy to see him as I was right then. Which explained why I took 3 steps forward and wrapped my arms around him without thinking too much about it. He grunted in surprise as I held him as tightly as I could, my hands clasped behind his back, my forehead on his shoulder. I was breathing heavily, trying to keep myself together, but I was shaking and couldn't stop. For a moment, he didn't move, remaining stiff and unyielding. But then he sighed and did the most remarkable thing. He hugged me back. Out of all the hugs I'd received in my life, it was probably one of the worst. He was thin and bony, and he smelled like mothballs and cherry-flavored hard candies. I could tell he was uncomfortable and was probably humoring me, at least as much as someone like Randall could. But it didn't matter. Because while it was one of the worst, it was also one of the best. He was here. He was alive. Maybe a little worse for wear, but that didn't matter. We were together again, and maybe, just maybe, everything would be okay.
You're embarrassing yourself,
Randall said gruffly, near my ear.
Maybe,
I said with a sniffle. But I notice you're still not letting me go.
Someone once told me that everyone knows hugs should last at least a minute. It's only been 30 seconds.
Smart, that.
I always thought it was ridiculous.
Uh-huh, and now?
Now it's not so bad.
I hugged him just a little bit harder. Eventually, I pulled away, but kept my hands clasped on his elbows. His eyes were bright as he looked me up and down, then over my shoulder at Justin, standing behind me.
"Shaping magic?"
he asked. I shrugged. "Ain't no thing." He scowled at me.
"Frivolous. You know how I feel about it. It's nothing more than street magic, a trick to appease the masses."
Moment over. "It's our disguise," I retorted as I dropped his arms. "It was part of our rescue mission."
"Really? Your rescue mission? To rescue whom, might I ask?"
"The king." Randall rolled his eyes.
"So you bring the prince into the castle that's crawling with darks. You truly are an idiot."
"Hey," I tried to leave him behind, but he was all like,
"Sam, it's my father we're rescuing, and I'm going. And if you say no, I'm going to make you poop in a bucket for the rest of your life, even though we're best friends five ever."
"I didn't say it like that,"
Justin retorted.
"Kind of," Ryan said.
"Thanks, babe. You're my favorite person here, because everyone else sucks balls." Then I frowned at Randall. "What are you doing here?"
"Rescuing the king, obviously."
I gaped at him. "What do you mean, obviously? And you can't rescue the king. We're rescuing the king."
"Maybe we could all rescue the king,"
Ryan said.
"God damn it, Ryan."
He shrugged. I clapped my hands. "I just had a really great idea. I think we should work together, seeing as how we're all here."
"Isn't that what I just..."
"Ryan, now is not the time for whatever you were trying to say. We need to save the king." He sighed. I ignored him. "The plan is that we need to take out whatever darks are guarding the king. I was thinking that I should be the one to do it, since I'm super cool, and technically the hero of the story."
"Already done,"
I gaped at Randall.
"What?"
"The darks,"
Randall said slowly.
"I've already taken care of them."
"You did, but..." I was going to do it.
"Is he here?"
Justin asked. Randall glanced over my shoulder.
"He is. I was in the process of trying to get the door open when I heard you bumbling fools moving like a pack of fire geckos in the passageway. You do understand the meaning of stealth, do you not?"
"I'm the stealthiest person in the world," I said. Ryan patted me on the arm.
"That's literally not true."
Then, from farther down into the dungeons, came a tremulous voice.
"Dad?"
"Who are..."
"Justin. Is it really you?"
I turned to see Justin standing in front of a cell, farther down the hallway. At his feet, two darks lay crumpled on the floor. Justin took a step toward the cell in front of him, and a sturdy hand reached out and cupped the back of his neck, pulling him closer.
"Hello,"
a voice said, strong and kind.
"Hello, my son. Hello."
"I'm probably going to cry," I told Ryan. "Reunions and stuff."
"That's because you're a sap."
"Your eyes are wet."
"Allergies. All the dust."
"Uh-huh." Justin was whispering something, but it wasn't meant for me, so I didn't focus on his words. The hand around the back of his head squeezed, and I was filled with this great, warm relief that I could be here to see this. But then the king said,
"He's here."
Justin nodded and turned to look at me. He waved, beckoning me over. I swallowed thickly, but did what he'd asked. He was my prince, after all. Good King Anthony of Varenya stood tall and proud inside his jail cell, in the dungeons of Castle Locks. He wore tattered trousers and a coarse, stained shirt that hung loosely on his thin frame. He'd always been a bear of a man, thick and strong. He was now a shadow of his former self, shoulders bony and knees knobby. But his eyes sparkled with that fire he'd always had burning inside him. And his mustache was still a thing of beauty, massive and luxuriant. I loved my king very much. He grinned at me.
"Well now, look who's returned. Welcome, Sam. You've been greatly missed."
I burst into tears.
"Oh boy,"
Justin muttered.
"It's been a very long day,"
Ryan said, coming to stand beside me.
"And an even longer year."
He brought his hand up and a fist across his chest and bowed low.
"My king." "And that would be the Knight Commander,"
the king said, smile widening.
"Formal, even in the middle of a rescue. I respect that."
"You can recognize us?"
Ryan asked, sounding astonished.
Of course I can. I'm your king. I would know you anywhere.
Either that, or he heard me saying your names when you arrived. Samovald, you stop your sniveling right this second. We don't have time for tears now. Be a man.
I'm not Sam Wild, I sobbed. I'm a wizard now.
Randall and the king stared at me. I wiped snot from my nose as my breath hitched to my chest. It was not my proudest moment.
What was that?
Randall asked faintly.
He's a full-fledged wizard, Ryan said proudly. Sam of Dragons.
Randall couldn't have looked more shocked.
Fascinating. This is a cause for celebration. But perhaps I can wait until we've escaped. Randall struck both darks upside the head. I don't know how much longer they'll be out.
I was still crying when I kicked both of the unconscious darks in the face. Justin stared at me.
That was...
I don't know what that was. Ryan, the key.
You have the master key. That'll certainly make things easier. Neither of these two added on them, and I couldn't risk Mirren being alerted to my presence.
Ryan nodded, stepped forward, and unlocked the door to the cell. Because I was magnanimous, I let Justin hug his father first. I wiped my face and waited my turn. It was as glorious as I expected it to be. Ryan seemed surprised when the king pulled him in, too, but eagerly wrapped his arms around him. Even Randall got in on that action, though he grumbled about it.
All these cells are empty, Justin asked, sounding confused. I expected there to be more down here.
There were,
the king said, stepping away from Randall.
They were taken and put to work in the city. They thought if my people were down here with me, they'd try to work in collusion with me to plan a coup.
And did you? I asked, wiping my face. The king nodded.
Almost got away with it, too. But someone overheard us, and that was that. So I bided my time, kept my wits about me, and waited.
For? The king blinked at me.
You, of course.
But how could you...
I always knew you'd come back,
the king said, clasping a hand on my shoulder.
And even if it wasn't with you, I knew Justin would come for me. Because if the roles were reversed, there would be nothing to stop me from getting to him. So I waited.
Justin looked surprised at his father's declaration.
Dad,
he said. The king smiled quietly at his son.
So imagine my surprise when Randall, of all people, showed up. Not who I was expecting, but still. And then all of you came, and I figure the gods must be smiling down upon me this night.
Yes, yes,
Randall said crossly.
It would be prudent if you all shut your mouths and moved your keisters.
Keisters, I mouthed through my tears.
Now, Sam, dry your eyes. If you're a wizard now, as you claim to be, you don't have time for feelings.
I'm so happy we're all together again,
the king said.
Once I vanquish all of our enemies and restore Varania to its shining glory, I think I shall throw a gala to honor you all. Because I do love parties so.
So kingly, I breathed. Randall picked up a pack I hadn't noticed before, resting near the cell door. He opened the top and started rooting through it, muttering under his breath about the incompetence of those around him, but there was a rough fondness to it, so I let it go. I was about to turn back toward the king to gaze upon his glory, when I saw something rising from the pack, out of the corner of my eye. The others were distracted, so they didn't see what I did. A little rainbow crackling with brightly colored sparks. It disappeared as Randall covered it with a thin metal mesh.
No fucking way.
That's... Randall's gaze snapped up to me. His voice was low when he spoke.
Not another word, Sam.
But...
Sam?
I nodded, as much as it hurt to do so. He was right. We had to get the hell out of the castle, even if he appeared to have a most wondrous treasure hidden away in his pack. He pulled another hooded cloak from his pack and handed it to the king.
Put this on. It'll do until we escape.
Can't you just suck us through your magic hole? I asked. Then, gods, you would think my phrasing would get better as I got older. How disappointing. He shouldered his pack as the king wrapped his cloak around his shoulders.
I often find myself disappointed with you, so it's nothing new.
You had to have noticed the dampening wards placed throughout the castle. Mirren appears to have absolute control of the darks. I don't have the time to break his wards, and I don't have the strength to burst through them, not without needing time to recover. And time is something we don't have.
I frowned. I didn't feel anything like that. Randall stared at me before he sighed.
Of course you didn't. Yet another thing Sam of Wilds inexplicably can do.
Sam of Dragons. He grunted, looking slightly pained.
Right. That's something we're going to discuss, mark my words. But now we need to move. Once outside the castle, I'll be able to suck us through my magic. God damn it.
I grinned at him. You miss me. Admit it.
I shall admit no such thing.
We can't forget Lady Tina,
Justin said.
She's waiting for us at the entrance to the secret garden.
We can absolutely forget her. Like, it's actually really easy to do.
Lady Tina?
Randall asked, sounding confused.
What in the name of the gods is she doing here?
I rolled my eyes. She's apparently Ryan and Justin's new BFF and does assassin stuff or whatever. Apparently, when you and I disappeared, they decided to fill the void with evil.
She's not that bad, Ryan said.
She assisted in the plot that led to the death of Morgan of Shadows,
Randall growled.
And you stand there and tell me that she's not that bad.
Ryan squeaked.
She's reformed, Justin said. I vouch for her.
Randall eyed Justin for a long moment before he nodded.
So be it.
Pushover, I muttered under my breath.
What are you all standing around for?
Randall barked.
Move!
We moved. It had been easy, really. Our luck had to run out sometime. There were voices outside the passageway that led back to the garden. I couldn't quite make out what they were saying. Ryan stood stiffly in front of me after dousing the torch he carried. The others were gathered behind us, with Randall bringing up the rear.
Why have you stopped?
He hissed up at us.
There's something out there, I whispered back. We don't know who it is.
Randall groaned.
The king's escape will not go unnoticed for long. We don't have time for this. Find out what is going on and deal with it.
You deal with it.
I'm old, and I just climbed the world's longest staircase. Do you think I'm in any position to handle ruffians?
This is why elderly people are put into homes, I muttered to Ryan.
I heard that.
Look, Ryan whispered. I'll go up. You stay here and protect the others.
With what? Magic? Mirren will know we're here. It's better if you stay. I'll go, just to see who it is. If it comes down to it, you know I can talk my way out of anything.
That's not...
Trust me, I'm Sam of Dragons. I got this. He scowled at me, but let me pass. Before I was out of reach, he took my hand. I looked back at him.
Don't die, he said seriously. I just got you back, and I'll be pissed if something happens to you.
I squeezed his hand, and he let me go. I stuck to the shadows on the last few steps. The thick vines that covered the hidden entrance still hung as they had before, and I wondered if that was enough to keep it from sight. Either that, or someone had discovered the passageway and we were totally screwed. I really hoped that wasn't the case. I didn't want to die wearing dark wizard robes. They were terrible. I reached the top of the staircase, and I didn't see anyone. The voices were a little louder, and it seemed as if they were coming from behind the small clearing. I pushed through the vines, quietly and carefully, out into the cool night air. I looked back, and the vines obstructed most of the entrance. The shadows did the rest. No one would see the passageway unless they inspected the vines closely. There was something familiar about one of the voices, even if I couldn't make out the words. I recognized the cadence to the speech, though I couldn't quite...